This episode contains explicit content of rape, sexual assault, child abuse, and incest, so listener discretion is advised. Welcome back. My name's Kayla.
My name's Travers.
And this is...
Hello, my name is True Crime.
So before we get into the episode, I want to talk some business. We are going to be having our live event this weekend. So if you're in Ohio, near Ohio, or
you want
to come to Ohio, make sure to join us this Saturday at the live event. We will put all the information on our Twitter and our Instagram page, so you can check it out there to get...
Yes, along with our social security numbers and our bank account numbers.
No, negative.
Yeah, that part's not true.
But it's going to be fun. We've got a lot of information for you guys this weekend that are attending. And we are going to talk some true crime. So make sure you join us and hang out with us. We want to meet you guys.
Yes, that would be really cool. Yeah. It'd be really cool to meet some people.
I hope they have like stain resistant floors because... I might pee myself.
Oh my God. I didn't know where that was going. And my mind immediately went to urine.
Yeah.
And then you went there too. And I was like, what?
Yeah. It could happen. So, yeah. All over my nice new outfit that I got for the event.
Thank God it's a dress, right?
Yeah.
That way it'll just run down your leg.
Right. Okay. So, I have to say that this episode was... extremely difficult to put together. I had to step away from it a few times because it's horrible, it's frustrating, it's disgusting, and incredibly heartbreaking. So I just want to put that out there before we jump into it.
And that's only a fraction of the different emotions associated with it. There are a countless amount of additional ones
Absolutely.
Associated with it as well. But if we were to name off each and every one, we'd probably not be able to get to the podcast.
Yeah. So, with that being said, just a heads up, hold on to your booties because shit's going to get real.
Listener discretion is advised.
Exactly. Elizabeth Fritzl was born on April 6th, 1966, to Joseph and Rosemary Fritzl in Amstetten, I believe is how it's said, Amstetten, Austria. She was part of a very large family, having two brothers and four sisters. Elizabeth was the youngest of them. She was the baby. Her siblings thought that their father pretty much treated her differently, as they felt that he often handed down lesser punishments for his strict house rules. Each of them believed that it was due to, again, the fact that she was the baby of the family. And that's a typical thing. I've seen that. And tons of families, like the youngest child, gets, to get away with a little bit more. Elizabeth was quiet. She was a blue-eyed blonde who often daydreamed of getting away and starting her life someplace new, and really someplace away from her father. It wasn't necessarily due to his strict rules, but rather the abuse that she had suffered at his hands. Sometime around Elizabeth's 11th birthday, Joseph had begun to physically, verbally, and sexually abuse her, and by all accounts, she was the only one of his children that he had abused. Then, by the time she was 15, Elizabeth had decided that she could find a way out by enrolling into this waitressing program. I had never heard of something like this, and I don't know if it's just the difference in the countries, but... I guess that they do these waitressing programs that teaches you how to be a waitress, all of the job details that go into it. And she went into this with the hope that she would possibly land a job waitressing and she could move away. Then 2 years into the program, on January 28th, 1983, when Elizabeth was 17 years old, she ended up running away to Vienna to live with a friend that she had met in the waitressing program. She had just gotten tired of all the abuse. She just couldn't take it anymore. But just 3 weeks into her being gone, her parents had reported her missing and the authorities had found Elizabeth and brought her back to her family with no questions asked. And I think that is something, I don't know, there's just something about that whole thing there that I feel like they could have prevented a lot of this if they would have kind of tried to find the reason why she was trying to get away from her family or ran away. Yeah. I mean, I know she's 17 years old, yeah. but at the same time, like, something's obviously going on if she's trying to get away from them.
Right, but how many other cases where they found a runaway, like an actual runaway, and returned the runaway and then furthered an investigation to find out why they ran away?
Well, I always feel like it's better safe than sorry, because we look at all these cases that they're just like, oh, you know, they probably just ran away.
Right, but do you see what I'm saying?
But
like, if they were to do that, that would be great.
Right, and I feel like this day and age, and I know this was back in the 80s, but I feel like we've come so far, and all of these cases should be used as a cautionary tale to
absolutely
always check the details before mm-hmm. just assuming, you know? And
totally.
I just feel like a lot of stuff could have been prevented.
Each piece of information that we find and that we use and that's documented is history.
Absolutely.
It's part of our past.
Right.
And I swear to God, somewhere along the lines of growing up, I heard something similar to the effect of, we learn a lot from our past, mm-hmm. from our history.
Right.
But wait, aren't they doing away with that? They don't, there's no more history classes, and now it's Common Core math and all that nonsensical bullshit.
Stuff like that. Yeah, that certain schools are doing away with history class.
Yeah, who needs it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, if we just,
you know, we don't need to know.
Yeah,
about
we don't. I mean, if we ignore history, then we can move on with the future, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
So once Elizabeth was brought back to her family, she felt like she really had no choice, and she went right back into the waitressing program and finished midway through 1984. She was then immediately offered a waitressing job in the nearby city of Linz. I am so sorry if I am not pronouncing these names correctly.
They are German.
Right.
Well, Austrian.
After she graduated and got this job, she started to feel like things were kind of starting to turn around and looking up for her. She, you know, she's getting this job. She's going to move out, get away from Joseph. It's all good. You know, she's feeling good about her life. She's getting a new beginning, a new fresh start, and things are going good for her. And then on August 28th, 1984, just a few months after Elizabeth's 18th birthday, Joseph had asked Elizabeth for help with carrying a door downstairs to the basement. With no reason to question this, she willingly helped carry the door down that would seal her into a hidden chamber of the family's basement. Once she was lured into the basement by her father, Elizabeth held the door in place while Joseph secured it to the frame, and after it was finally in place, he grabbed Elizabeth and held an ether-soaked rag to her face until she lost consciousness and was thrown into the enclosed room.
We're assuming that either nobody was home during this or nobody had seen Elizabeth go downstairs with Joseph, because once it was realized that she was nowhere to be found, the family became alarmed and they all looked everywhere for her, but to no avail. Rosemary then decided to file a missing persons report with the police. Joseph, though, didn't seem to be too worried about the whereabouts of their daughter, as he stated that Elizabeth had often talked about running away and joining a religious cult, because that's what, you know, young teenage girls do.
Right.
Though no one else had heard her talk about this. They all assumed that this was possibly the case, especially given her history of running away once before. Then, almost a month later, Joseph provided the police with a letter that he claimed had arrived at their doorstep. It was postmarked from Brana and written in Elizabeth's handwriting, claiming that she was tired of living with her family and decided to live with a friend so that she could join a cult, conveniently backing up Joseph's claims. How convenient indeed.
Mm-hmm.
In the letter, it also warned that if her parents went to the police or tried to look for her, she would leave the country. This, though, would be just one of many handwritten letters that Joseph would force his daughter to write over the course of her captivity. Since the letter helped to cover Joseph's footsteps, he knew that things would start to quiet down about the situation. And with this letter from Elizabeth, law enforcement would have no reason to believe that she was being held captive and that Joseph was responsible. Eventually, everybody in the Fritzl home went back to their normal routine, with Elizabeth trapped just feet underneath them for 24 years, where she endured the most absolute worst even imaginable.
Joseph would spend much of his time in the basement working. He would enter the basement every morning at 9 a.m., telling his family that he was down there just drawing up plans for the machines in which he sold to firms. And this was a big part of his life. Like, this is something that he did constantly. So for him to be going down there and spending all day wasn't anything bizarre or odd or suspicious to them. He would often be in the basement, presumably working so long that he would end up sleeping down there. And he would order his wife not to enter the basement to bring him so much as a coffee, because he told her that this would break his focus. And again, like I said, this wasn't anything unusual. And since it was normal for him to be working down there, they all just left him be. And I don't know, like, if you were down in the basement all the time, I would be like, what the hell? Like,
why are you in the basement all the time? I know you got a day job, mother trucker. What are you doing in the basement?
I just find it
I'm drawing up plans. Leave me alone.
Yeah. It's so crazy that nobody went into this basement ever.
Well, that kind of makes a little tiny bit of sense. Like, if he was, like, adamant about nobody being down there, like, that's his space, well, that's his office or what have you, you know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I'd still be like, excuse you, like, what's going on down here? I mean, and
understandable.
And then, again, like you said, like, maybe he was abusive toward his wife as well. I don't know. I couldn't really find a whole lot on that aspect of it, but for somebody to be, like, so submissive as she is in the situation, it leads me to believe that that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean,
for totes.
That's just my opinion. I can't imagine never going down there.
Well,
it's a valid
opinion.
I find it hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, I've even joked about how there's a statistic and possibility that even over the span of 24 years that she could have incidentally slept walk down into the basement.
Right.
You know?
Like, it's just crazy. I don't get it.
That's a long time to never go into your basement.
Exactly. While Joseph was down in the basement, he would visit Elizabeth every single day. Some weeks, though, he would visit at a minimum of 3 times a week to bring her just enough food, water, and supplies to survive. Pretty much just enough to keep her alive. It was never anything more than just enough, but the main reason he would enter into the basement was to sexually assault and rape Elizabeth. And it wasn't long before she became pregnant. This, though, would be just one of the many pregnancies that she would go through while being held in captivity in this chamber. Elizabeth's first pregnancy ended in a miscarriage at just 10 weeks, which would be something that she would have to go through completely alone at just 20 years old. She became pregnant again 2 years later and gave birth to her oldest daughter, Kristen, in August of 1988. 2 years after Kristen, she learned that she was pregnant once again and had her oldest son, Stefan. Again, at this point, it wasn't just Elizabeth being held in the basement. Joseph now had her 2 children, and they thought that this was normal. Never going outside, never seeing other people, just living every day in this small, compacted area. And I don't know if you guys have ever watched the movie Room. In my opinion, I believe that they based that movie off of this case.
It would definitely seem so.
It's heartbreaking.
It is. It really, truly is.
And, I mean, just imagine that for a second. Like, as a parent, I can't even imagine them never seeing the sun, the sky,
right.
The ground, outside, playing at a
park. What's worse is, you know, where you are is wrong. It's
right.
Not right. It's not normal. But
these
like
little
how do you raise these kids in that environment?
Right.
Like, are you like, well, there's a son and there's this and there's that, but
yeah.
I don't know if you'll ever get to see it.
Exactly. Like, how
like,
do you explain that to them? Like,
yeah.
They're not even going to know what a son is. It's really, really heartbreaking.
It
I'm telling
is.
You guys, like I said, this case just
sucks.
It was so hard. Oh, it breaks my heart.
Yeah. Through all of this, Elizabeth tried to make life for her children as normal as possible. She set up a routine for them. She set rules, chores. She started homeschooling them to the best of her abilities with the hope that one day they would make it out and have some sort of skills and education to be able to live a normal life in the outside world. It was difficult for Elizabeth to continue to give her children a normal setting because the rape and assault became more and more frequent, sometimes even being forced by Joseph in front of her children as a punishment for doing something he didn't agree with. And this would ultimately lead to her giving birth to 5 more children. One of the 5 sadly died soon after birth from respiratory problems because Joseph had refused to allow Elizabeth to take her baby to the hospital for help out of fear that he would be found out. And speaking of fearing being found out, some of the footage that we had seen on YouTube and on the internet and stuff, this delicate flower, this gem of a man's trying to cover his face.
Oh God, yeah.
You know,
in the
public
me.
Eye and stuff. It's like,
absolutely.
Screw
disgusting.
You, man. Screw
yeah.
you.
Poor him.
Man up. That's not. This is just one of numerous different things. Terrible things.
He's a
this
disgusting human
fucking
being.
Guy has done.
Mm-hmm.
He is a disgusting human being. I wish him 100-fold in return what he had done to everyone else to be done to him.
Over the years, the space in the basement became an issue as the children grew older and Elizabeth birthed more children. Joseph said that the 2 oldest, Kristen and Stefan, would stay in the basement with Elizabeth, but each child she had after that, Joseph would devise a plan to take each child up and out of the basement one by one. He would place them somewhere around the Fritzl house to be discovered by Rosemary. So sometimes he would place them in a bush, or he would place them laying in a little bassinet on the stairs. He would ring the doorbell and run away. Like, it was these ridiculous schemes that he would come up with. And when she would find the children, they always had a note attached to them from Elizabeth, handwritten, claiming that she had gotten pregnant again and again and was unable to care for her children and knew that her parents could be trusted to take care of them. However, the last child, Felix, that Elizabeth gave birth to, stayed in the basement with her because Joseph had said that Rosemary just couldn't take care of any more children because she was already caring for Lisa, Monica, and Alexander. I just can't imagine how difficult it would be to be in any of these situations that she was in, you know, like
picking and choosing.
Right. On one hand, you want to be able to give your children a better life, them to live as normal as possible. But on the other hand, she's having them being taken away by the one person that is
creating
destroying
all this,
her life. Absolutely. And she can't monitor what's happening. And I'm sure that she was just terrified that without her around, you know, who knows what he's going to do to her children. And it's incredibly heartbreaking. Rosemary never really questioned any of this. To her, this was a way to stay connected with her daughter that she missed. It was like her daughter was coming to her for help, and she had this strange relationship or bond with her. She had no reason to question any of it, mostly due to the fact that, again, when each one of the children arrived, they had a handwritten note from Elizabeth. So she willingly took them all in, each one of them, and cared for the children that lived above in the house while their mother and siblings lived below the rest of the Fritzl family.
Rosemary had decided to contact social services after the children had all arrived and explained to them what had in fact happened. Even though social services had not received consent from Elizabeth herself, they took the notes into account and granted Joseph and Rosemary guardianship of the children, making them their legal guardians, no questions asked. Shockingly, there were no suspicions because of the fact that Joseph and Rosemary were the grandparents, and again, there were numerous notes from Elizabeth regarding the children.
You would think they would have looked into that just a little bit more. I mean,
yeah.
Again, shit's a lot different nowadays, and I don't really think that a note would hold up very well.
That it most certainly doesn't, not nowadays.
You would think that they would at least attempt to contact her. I don't know. That's odd. Yeah. I mean, I guess if these children are, quote unquote, being abandoned at their grandparents, what else really can they do?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I kind of get it, but at the same time, like, that's kind of strange as well.
Yeah. Joseph, do you have like an address where this cult is,
right,
so we can corroborate this with the mother?
What kind of a cult's going to, like, want the children?
Exactly. What kind of a cult is going to give up more cult members?
Right.
Like,
that right there alone should have rang bells and whistles.
Yeah, you would think. At least a little bit. Even with three of the children living upstairs, there still wasn't enough room in the basement with three growing children and Elizabeth. So Joseph knew that the only way to continue with his disgusting, twisted plan of keeping Elizabeth captive was to expand the basement. However, Joseph told Elizabeth that he would approve an expansion, but he would not take part in it. If they wanted a larger living area, then she and her children would have to be the ones to do the work. So Elizabeth and her three young children spent the next 3 years hand-digging the area for the basement expansion. Once they were finished, the layout was insane. There were two small bedrooms, a bathroom, a living area with a kitchenette, and a padded soundproof room, which again was initially just a small basement with a small workshop. The ceilings were no higher than 5.5 feet. The passageways or hallways into each one of the rooms were terrifyingly narrow with uneven floors, and the door that went from the living area to the workshop basement had a 3x2 electronic door.
Jesus. Yeah, I've seen pictures of this,
I have too.
It is horrifying.
It is really
something. I do not know how. I mean, I know that she had no other choice, but it's disturbing.
It really is.
It's terrifying. The photographs of this is unreal. And it's really scary to think that this was a long-term plan.
Yeah.
Because Joseph, he did not care about having to add on and having to give them more space. He really just wanted to make sure that he could keep them there. Like, he wasn't going to do any of the work, but if they wanted more room, they would have to do it, no matter what cost. He just wanted to keep them there and make sure that they were, quote-unquote, somewhat comfortable, because they weren't going anywhere.
Yep, and the more comfortable they were, the less they would, give him trouble.
Yeah, the longer he could go on doing this disgusting shit that he was doing.
Yeah.
Gosh, it
freaking
angers
shit.
Me.
I hate people like that. I absolutely hate them. Like, my pulse is busting out of my neck. I'm so infuriated with this monster. Yeah.
Then in 2008, Elizabeth's oldest daughter, Kristen, who at this point was 19 years old, she had lived her entire life in this basement. She became incredibly ill. To put it into perspective, Kristen was older than Elizabeth was when she herself was horrifically forced into captivity.
Wow.
That it's crazy. As the days passed, Kristen's condition worsened, and Elizabeth believed that if she didn't seek help, that her daughter was going to die. And with already having one child succumb to Joseph denying medical treatment, she begged him to take Kristen to the hospital, to which he quickly denied. After pleading with him, Elizabeth was finally able to amazingly convince him to agree to get help. But before Joseph called an ambulance, he gave Kristen strict rules, and many of them, that she had to abide by, or else he would punish Elizabeth and the other children by denying them food, killing them. He gave her all these insane manipulative reasons to keep her from saying anything, to which she agreed to. He also made Elizabeth write a note telling the doctors what was wrong with Kristen and giving them consent to treat her. But imagine being in this young girl's shoes. Like, This wasn't the first time that he had threatened to do things. Like, there were points that he had told them he had, like, this gas, and he would gas them and kill them. He would do electric shock. And obviously none of these things he had, but they didn't know. Like, he was telling them all this stuff.
Don't you think that if killing them was actually on the table, that he could give a shit if she was sick and needed to go to the doctor?
Right, but...
like, if he genuinely didn't care about their well-being.
But she didn't know this.
I get that, I guess.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I totally get what you're saying, though. Once Kristen arrived at the hospital, it was immediately thought that something was very strange about the entire situation. Not only did they notice that Kristen was very pale, skinny, fragile, she seemed to also lack just normal social skills. They had decided to admit her to stay for 2 weeks, where they questioned her about her mother, her living conditions, even asking if there was something going on at home, but she refused to talk to them. She didn't want to talk to the police out of fear that Joseph was going to hurt her family.
Authorities then devised a plan and decided to make a public statement asking if anyone in the public knew who Kristen's parents were and to please come forward so they could speak with them about her medical condition and family medical history in order to proceed with treatment. However, nobody came forward because no one had ever seen Kristen before and no one knew who her parents were. But police had started to look at all of the facts at hand, and almost solely on the fact that Joseph presented some very bizarre behavior. They eventually reopened Elizabeth's case. They found that at the most convenient times, Joseph would present these letters from Kristen pertaining to whatever event was happening at the time, and oddly enough, it was always Joseph who was given these letters or providing authorities with the letters. Then this very sick girl arrives at the hospital unaware of who her mother was, with a note similar to the ones that Joseph had provided. As well as being the one to call 911 for help, they knew he was somehow connected to her and something wasn't right. It's about time.
Yeah. And can you imagine, like, being the one to kind of put all these little dots together and...
dude, that would
figure it out.
God,
like
your stomach would probably
exactly
churn.
Like almost like this heinous realization that, like, holy shit.
Yeah, like this tiny voice in the back of your head that's like, dude, this is messed up.
Exactly. It's I can't even imagine.
No way.
Mm-mm.
With police now focusing in on Joseph, Elizabeth knew that this would be the perfect time to get out of the situation. With the media and law enforcement searching for Kristen's mother, she convinced Joseph to allow her to go to the hospital to claim her. Then police would back off, and they could go back to living the way that they had, and she wouldn't tell them anything about what had happened. And for the first time in over 2 decades, Elizabeth, as well as her 2 remaining children in the basement, were brought upstairs. When Rosemary realized Elizabeth was there, Joseph told his wife that Elizabeth had decided to come home.
What the actual fuck? Like, I don't understand. And I really don't want to talk badly about Rosemary because
we don't know
by all accounts, like, everything points to her as being a victim as well. But, like, how? I don't understand how. I've looked at this case. I've tried to look at it at so many different angles, and I still cannot wrap my head around the fact that she was completely oblivious to everything.
Yeah.
He must have been one hell of a manipulative person. Like, I don't know.
Or abusive,
exactly.
Or whatever. Maybe he
abused
her, too. Maybe she knew, but she couldn't do anything either. Or maybe she just was not very intelligent.
I mean, fucking blows my mind.
You tell me, if you're even a moderately intelligent woman, would you ever allow yourself to be...
No, I would be like, what the hell is going on? Like, something a long time ago. But again, I've never been in this situation, so I don't know.
But she knew about his past,
exactly,
too, right?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's
he's
really
got a past.
Crazy to think about. Yeah. Once Elizabeth arrived at the hospital on April 26th, 2008, the staff quickly picked up on the fact that, once again, something was off, just as it had been when Kristen arrived. Not only was Elizabeth pale, thin, skittish, She was mysteriously there after nobody seeing or hearing from her for over 20 years. They immediately called law enforcement and she was taken in for questioning. When they initially started questioning Elizabeth, they wanted to know about Kristen's health, why it was so bad, why she was so sick and skinny, why she seemed to have no skills as a teenager her age would. They wanted to know if she was abused and why she was malnourished. Then they began to ask about Joseph, why he was the one she had contact with over the years. They wanted to know if she had sent the letters to him. Did she abandon her children to him, and why? Then finally, after they had promised that she would never, ever have to see him again and that absolutely no harm would come to her or her children, she finally started to tell authorities the truth about the last two decades of her life. And this was just much more shocking than any of them could have even ever imagined.
That evening, police swarmed in on the house and arrested Joseph. They were able to find all five children that were still at the Fritzl home. Rosemary fled the house when police arrived, which of course made her look like she was involved in this whole ordeal as well. However, once they were able to locate her, they found that Rosemary seemed to have no idea about the horrific events that had been happening just beneath her feet all of those years. And she seemed to be in a state of shock through the questioning. Police were also shocked to find that the Fritzls had been renting out the ground floor to tenants for 12 years. They also stated that they had no idea that anyone had been living in the basement, let alone that these heinous acts were being carried out down there. They did, however, state that there had been a few times they heard some strange noises coming from the basement, but Joseph had been able to manipulate them by telling them that the noises were from faulty pipes and gas heating systems and yard gnomes, so they never thought anything more.
He is such a manipulator.
Oh my God. Well, people.
Pisses me off.
People want to believe people. You know what I mean?
Infuriating.
You sure as shit don't want to know or believe or even think that your landlord is
absolutely
this psychopath.
Not.
You know?
I agree.
Like, oh, it's just the pipes and stuff. Don't worry about a thing.
Right.
Rent's due on the third.
Like,
bud.
Who's going to think, like, oh, he's holding his daughter captive and doing all these unthinkable,
disgusting,
yeah,
nasty,
like,
inappropriate, wrong, immoral shit.
Insane.
Yeah. Once at trial, the jury watched 11 hours of Elizabeth's taped testimony of the account, which went into great detail about the abuse and just absolute horrible acts that were committed against her. It was also announced that DNA testing had been done, in which proved that each one of Elizabeth's children were in fact fathered by her own father, Joseph. This would also help to prove the incest that had taken place. Joseph Fritzl insisted that he was not the monster they portrayed him to be. He said he would go down and spend time with the children while he watched movies with them. He brought the children toys, books, and brought Christmas trees down to the bunker each holiday. Along with just enough food
exactly.
So they could survive. Not so they could be comfortable, survive. Fuck you, guy.
Makes my stomach turn.
Makes my
blood
boil.
Ugh.
Piece of shit. Joseph was ultimately sentenced to life in prison with numerous accounts of enslavement, kidnapping, incest, rape, false imprisonment, as well as murder of Elizabeth's baby, Michael, who was the twin of Alexander, but died after birth.
It was also found that Joseph had been planning to hold Elizabeth captive for many years prior to him actually taking her down into the basement. Around 1981 to 1982, he claims that he had started to turn the basement into a prison to hold her captive one day. Fucking disgusting.
Hey, thanks for the honesty, pal.
It should also be known that he had prior convictions of rape.
Yeah.
He had broken into the home of a nurse in the city Linz in 1967, almost 10 years after he married Rosemary. He raped her at knife point, and he had also been a suspect in an attempted rape of a 21-year-old, and he had multiple accounts of indecent exposure. And he ended up being arrested for this and served 12 months in prison for these incidents. So
his wife knew about
when
that
I
shit.
Say, like, it blows my mind that she had no idea, like, how I'm
all the
she
signs
had to
are
have
there.
Known about these convictions
all
of
the signs
the rape,
are there. Absolutely.
I don't understand it.
Indecent exposure. Well, why are you hiding your face now, you scumbag?
Right. I don't know. Yeah. Another thing to add is that he admits to holding his own mother captive.
Yeah.
In the attic of their home. After she had moved in with him and Rosemary around 1959, he admitted to also keeping her locked up for up to 20 years until her death in 1980. He said that he was able to conceal it because he just, told the neighbors that she had died.
And since this is a house of no questions asked,
yeah,
ever.
I don't understand how he got away with holding two people captive
in
people. This house.
Multiple people.
Initially. Yeah, right. Even her children. But, Jesus, God.
Yeah, what the fuck? Why was Rosemary still with him, after all that?
I don't know.
Not only did he commit an atrocious act of rape, in an assaulting fashion, but it was while they were married.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But you have to take into account that sometimes when women are abused, it's hard to get out of these situations.
I
totally agree. I don't know. I can't find the exact answer for this.
Yeah, because
and
the
it's
information's
sad.
On her and Joseph,
right?
More so than Rosemary. So
yeah,
totally understandable. It's just there's a lot of questions.
Right, exactly. He told the courts, quote unquote, "I was born to rape," and he stated that after he served time in prison, that he then was going to lock his daughter up so that he could contain and express his evil side. Sadistic. Pretty much just saying, I was just going to hold her captive and use her as my sex slave.
Breaking into people's houses and holding them at knife point.
To be able to contain my evil. The hell?
Breaking into people's houses and holding them at knife point got me in trouble, so I'm just going to keep it all in the family and in my own house.
Yeah. And like I said in the beginning, it wasn't
nasty. Like
he did this to any of his other children. He was abusive to them. He, again, had really strict rules. He would hit them, smack them, things like that, yell at them, verbally abuse them. But he was only sexually abusive and raped only Elizabeth. It's so sad. It's so sad.
It really, truly is. But despite all of that, Elizabeth was given a new identity in a new town, and she is surrounded by constant protection by guards at all times. She wants to live the rest of her life in peace, and I think she deserves it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a really sad case.
It is a terrible, terribly sad case.
It completely broke my heart reading this, and I really, really hope that there were so many things that the police learned in this case to not overlook in hopes to help prevent something like this from ever happening to somebody else in the future. So, yeah, I know this case was extremely difficult to listen to, so I apologize if it was a little much. It's one that I had looked into a long, long time ago and really wanted to do so. Yeah, but
and it's important to hear it.
Yeah.
These people are people just
it
like
is.
You and just like me and just like Kayla.
It really goes to show how things can be overlooked,
And it's still happening to this day.
Right. It's important to not leave any stone unturned, to not assume that things are the way they are just because there's a mysterious letter or because somebody ran away. These people need to be looked for, and this stuff needs to be taken seriously.
Absolutely.
So that is the Elizabeth Fritzl case.
Yes, it is.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, as always.
Yeah.
Come hang out with us.
Funny stuff gets posted on that, and you could jump over there right now after listening to this super, super depressing case.
Yes.
And
follow
put on a smile.
At hello, my name is _truecrime.
I was going to guess that.
Also, you can follow us on Twitter at
hello crime.
Yes.
You can also follow us around our neighborhood.
Please don't do that. Please. Please don't do that. But you can come to our live event this weekend.
That's correct. You sure can.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, we love you. Yes. Yes.
Affirmative.
All right. Bye.
Hasta mañana. Nope, that's incorrecto. Not
hasta
mañana.
La vista.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you later.
Toulou.
Ta-da.
Mountain Dew.
Ta-da.
That was a Titancast episode.